What a delight it is to look out and see this number present, to come to worship the God of heaven and to glorify His majestic name. We're delighted to have some who may be visiting with us. Encourage you to open your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If I teach something in error, I stand to be corrected. Or if you find something's been taught in an unchristian-like manner, I stand to be corrected. Our objective is to preach the truth in love, and if you need to be baptized this morning upon your faith in Jesus Christ, all things have been made ready where you can have your sins blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we pray that as we stand and sing, as Brother Christopher leads us in the invitation song, you would make your life right with Christ. When you read through the Psalms, you'll find that there are many Psalms that show the emotion of man. And when you read through the Bible, the Word of God, you'll find that the Bible is trying to draw us nearer to God. And one thing I think when I read the Psalms is you can find just about every emotion in the book. In the 13th Psalm, you'll find David in great distress when he cried out and said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Here was a man who was in great distress. But if you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the 30th Psalm, I want us to look at some things that were revealed in the life of David. Look, if you will, in Psalm 30 at verses 4 and 5. In Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5, the divine revelation says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." If you have your Bible this morning, look at that last phrase penned by David when he said that weeping may endure for a night. Then he makes the statement, "Joy comes in the morning." You know, I want us to think about several things about night. And many times you can use that as symbolic when you're going through a dark period in your life. But when you look at night in general, things sometimes seem to be worse. If you've ever been sick, it seems like at night it's the worst time when you feel bad to be sitting there and you have no one to comfort you and you just feel bad. And I've often thought about there have been nights when you just think the day's never going to come. You're just waiting for the sun to rise. But you know, we see that example in Scripture. When David was a man on the run from Saul, have you ever thought about how many nights that man had to sleep in the wilderness, sleep in caves, and he was a man who had to find place to hide so that the army of Saul would not kill him and his men? Here was David. And David probably spent many a night watching for Saul, waiting for the rising of the sun, and there have probably been many times David couldn't wait for the sun to rise. And I've often thought about a man who was on the run for his life, how he could never have ease. If someone's trying to take your life, you're always going to be on guard. And David, I'm sure, thought, "Oh, this night time can be rough. I can't wait for the breaking of the dawn." But then I thought about David in my Bible in 2 Samuel 12. In 2 Samuel 12, David had a baby that was sick. And he was praying and interceding that God would spare that baby. But you'll remember in 2 Samuel 12 that David stayed up all night, would not eat. He fasted and prayed, and yet the baby died. But after the baby died, what did David do? David said, "I cannot bring the baby back, but I can go to the baby." And that man got up and ate and he worshiped. Now many times people would have been mad at God, but David recognized one thing. That there's weeping at night, but for a babe that's innocent and for a child of God that's justified, that there's joy in the morning. But then if you take your Bible, turn to the New Testament, to the book of Acts in the 12th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, you remember Peter's in prison. And they had already executed James. And they had planned by Herod's decree to execute Peter on the morrow. Now, I don't know about you, but if I think that they're going to put me to death on the next day, there would be a lot of concern in my mind and in my heart. But what's Peter doing? Peter's sleeping. But notice what the saints of God are doing. There's a prayer meeting down the road for him. And you remember the angel came and took Peter and escaped from the jail and took him, and he went all the way into the city of Jerusalem to John Mark's mother's house, and he knocked on the door. And I've often thought about, could you imagine that night? And could you imagine the joy when they saw Peter alive? At first they didn't believe it was Peter. They said it must be his ghost. And yet, my friend, Peter saw another morning. But there's another time in the life of Peter, I think, that he went through a long night and he couldn't wait till morning. And that's in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. In Luke 22, have you ever thought that that's the time he betrayed the Lord, he denied the Lord? Not one time, but three times. When they came and said, you're one of his disciples, instead of saying, yes, I am, he denied that he was. And you remember when the rooster crowed, the Bible says in Luke 22 that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'll tell you, my friend, there have been nights when I've thought of my sins and I've stayed up and I've wept. And I've thought about, my God will forgive me, and I recognize that. But you, one other thing you see about Peter, he was repenting of his sin. He was sorrowful for what he did. You remember it was Paul who said, godly sorrow leads to repentance. It's one thing to be sorry because you got caught. It's another thing to be sorry that you did it. A lot of people aren't sorry they committed the sin. They're only sorry that someone caught them in the act of the sin. It's a difference to have godly sorrow, which means I repent of what I've done because I hurt God and not because I got caught and embarrassed. Oh, what a difference. And when I look at Peter, I see a man who had godly sorrow. I see a man who's shedding tears of repentance. And when the day came, I'm sure that that was a relief to that man. But as our brother read just a moment ago, I've often thought about that man by the name of Paul. And you remember the Bible said that there on the sea, the Aratic Sea, for 14 nights. Can you imagine night after night not knowing if you're going to live? Now, Paul knew they were going to live because he had already said an angel of the Lord had stood beside him and told him there would be no loss of life but only ship. But can you imagine all the other people, the fear they had if they didn't have faith? And I thought about how sorrow turned to joy in the life of that man when the boat finally came crashing, but men were able to get to the island of Miletus, or Malaysia. That brings up another thought. I want you to think about Jesus. Have you ever thought about the sorrow in the night of the life of Jesus? In Luke 22, you see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And if ever there was a night that you saw an individual suffering, you saw someone in sorrow, it's when you see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane because He said, I've sorrowed to the point of death. He is sweating drops of blood. He is to the point that He could have died in the garden. What sorrow. But have you ever thought about on the third day in Luke 24 verse 1, it says, early in the morning, there was joy. Why? He arose from the dead. See, sorrow and weeping can occur for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, sometimes we have to weep through life. We have to go through dark times. We have to experience sorrow. But one thing for the child of God we recognize in Psalm 30, he said, there may be a moment of feeling of anger, or there may be a moment of intense pain, but there's joy eventually that comes. Look at the disciples in the book of John in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 16th chapter, notice what Jesus said to them about concerning His death. He said in verse 20, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will what? Look at that last phrase. Be turned to joy. Look down at verse 22. Therefore you now have sorrow, But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. I like that statement. Now, I want to take that, and I want to make application to our life and the lessons here. I want us to think about how many of us have wept through the night. And maybe it not meant the literal night, but we've just gone through time where our life has just been nothing but heartache. I think about parents who are having problems with children. I think about the father in Luke 15 whose son had gone into the far country. How many nights did that father walk the floor crying, laying down, only to have his pillow wet with tears? And sorrow seemed to hurt more at night. Every night he thought, where is my son at? What is he doing? What is he out there in that far country? How is he living? Is he even alive? I've known parents who have struggled with that. I want to tell you something with all kindness and candor. We need to show compassion to parents whose children are unfaithful. There have been times we've turned around and blamed the parents when it's not the parents' fault that the child's unfaithful. And how would you want to be treated if you're supposed to be unfaithful? Those parents are hurting. They're going through a night of weeping and sorrow. And what they need is not someone to kick them when they're down. They need someone to put their arm around them and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your child. I hope they come back. I pray the Lord will bless them. And I'll tell you what I've also come to learn, and it's a hard lesson, and I don't know how to do it. But many times when it comes to the children, we have to let them hit bottom before they come home. I worry about that with mine. What would I do? And I don't know yet. It'd be like the man who says, here's what I would do or wouldn't do if it was my job, because I knew a man said that one time, and he did the exact opposite of what he said he would do. But I do know this, that many times it takes a child like in Luke 15 when he didn't have any more resources to realize who he needed. Sometimes it's okay to bail them out, but there may come a time we have to just let them learn so they can come home on their own. I've been times, I never forget my father telling me, he said, son, if you end up in jail, you better be prepared. You're spending the night there. I ain't coming for you. You know what? I never tested that theory. But I'll tell you, I'm not telling parents how to raise their children, but I am telling you, I understand the weeping of a parent because there's tough decisions to be made. And it's always easy to sit back and say what you would do if you were in that circumstance, but you're not in that circumstance. Secondly, have you ever thought about at night when there's marriage problems, how that seems to be a greater effect on the person? When someone comes home from work and their spouse may have been drinking, or they find out their spouse has been unfaithful, or they come home, all they know is there's going to be a fuss and a fight, there's no love in the relationship, there's no concern, there's no care, all there is bickering and fighting, complaining, murmuring, no show of compassion, no remembrance of the vow they made. Have you ever thought about that some homes, all that they do is fuss and fight and fume and argue? And all night long, they stay up fussing over something. And I thought about how much weeping has been endured in the night because of families not keeping the vow they've made and not showing the love they said they would show. Now, I don't know about anybody in this audience, but I'll tell you one thing. I sleep a lot better when I'm doing the things I need to do as a husband. And when I fall short, there have been nights I said, you know, I've got to wait till the morning. I need to make some things right. But then I think about sickness. Oh, how the pain seems worse at night. The darkness around you, the pain within you, and the night seems so long. And one thing, you know, that I have heard so often through this pandemic is people saying, I'm lonely. I've had my father just go on the phone saying, I'm so lonely. And I'll tell you, that cuts. People can be lonesome. But you know, my friend, there can be a night of weeping. Then I'll tell you, there's another time that we can weep. And that's when someone has lied about us or gossiped about us or told something that isn't so. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever done this to you or not, but I'll tell you what, I've had it done to me, and it is something that'll keep you up and keep you concerned. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the young evangelist, look at what he says to him. He lets him know that this thing is going to occur. He says in verse 13, "Besides, they learned to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not." Now look at that phrase. They're gossips, busybodies, and they say things they ought not. You ever had someone gossip about you? You had anyone say something negative about you and it get back to you? Oh, I'll tell you, that can hurt. Now someone say, "Well, you ought not care what other people say." I'll tell you, that may be true, but sometimes what people say about you, especially people who you think you love and that or you think love you, and what they say about you, that can cut to the very quick. But then death comes. And when you have the death of a loved one, I'll tell you what, my friend, that can be a lonely time. The first night you sleep alone, or the helpless feeling, or the loneliness, or the heartbreak, and it doesn't seem that anything anybody says is going to make it better. One thing I've learned a long time ago, some things the best you can do to someone who's lost a loved one is not try to cheer them up with words, but just put your arm around them and say, "I love you." Because at that time, words aren't going to mean as much as just them knowing you're there. But then I think about joy. You ever thought of joy? Joy comes in the morning. If we just live our life looking at sorrow, then we're going to miss the fact that there's joy, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Go back to the 30th Psalm and look at what David had to say. In Psalm 30, look at what he said in verse 1. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me." Look at that statement. He said, "You have lifted me up." That's not the only time he had lifted him up. Take your Bible and go to the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter, you'll find that at other times he had lifted Moses up. When Moses followed him by faith, beginning in verse 23 through verse 26, what did God do? God lifted him up. He brought him all the way to the land of promise. Now, he couldn't enter in because of sin, but where did he go? Somewhere far greater. He's a man of faith. There was sorrow in the night for Moses, but there was joy in the morning when he was able to open his eyes and be with the Lord in paradise. Look at Peter. You ever thought about Peter? The next day, he's out preaching the gospel, and what joy that brought. In Acts 2, he preached the gospel. What joy that brought. Acts 10, he goes to Cornelius, and even though the Jews are a little upset with him, he brings a Gentile into Christ. And what joy that brought. And even when they put him to death, that day would have been a dark day, but what joy in the morning when he was with the Lord. Look at Paul. What was Paul's desire when you read through the Philippian letter? To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And when he's in the writing to the Philippians, where is he? He's in prison. And yet, what's the theme of the letter? Joy. Happiness deals with happenstance. Everybody sometimes gets a great confusion about what is happiness and what is joy. Happiness can be taken by circumstances changing. Joy cannot be taken because it's deeper and it's in the Lord. Someone can take your life, but they can't take your joy if you're in the Lord. Now, what about our lives? Have you ever thought about in our lives that there's joy waiting in the morning? You ever thought about that we still have good days? You know, sometimes I think through this pandemic, and I may be wrong to say this, and if I offend you, I apologize, but for some of us, and I'm not saying all of us, do not misunderstand me or misrepresent me, but for some of us, we've got to feeling sorry for ourselves to the point we don't see that we've had good days. Yes, there's been loneliness. Yes, there's been problems. Yes, we've had to wear masks. Yes, we've had to endure social distancing. But you know what, my friend? We still have enjoyed more in this country than a lot of people have ever enjoyed in other nations. And sometimes I don't think we see the blessings we have until we lose them. We have experienced joy. There's still good days. And you know what? We need to be thankful for them. One thing I love about Guy McDaniel is he is one of the most excited and encouraging men. When he's a good day, he ain't ashamed to tell you. I wish more brethren would like to. I'm afraid to ask some brethren, how you doing? Because it starts at 1975 and I get the medical record up till yesterday. And I'll tell you, I understand people are hurting and I'm not belittling that or making fun of that. But I'll tell you, there's sometimes you just have to be make up your mind, today's going to be a good day because I'm a child of God. And what's the worst they can do is nothing compared to what I gain as a Christian. And then I think about the fact, where we're going, there'll be no night. All the time of mourning and sorrow will be gone. And I'll tell you something, we talk about heaven, but I don't know if we think about it as much as we should. Reminds me of the preacher one time who said, who wants to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand except one little boy. And he said, son, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, well, I thought you was getting up a group right now. I tell you what, we should be ready right now. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter and look at what it said in chapter 21, verse 4. One of my favorite passages. Because it talks about what will be like. Where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there shall be no more what? Death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. There'll be no more weeping. I love that. We won't have anything to weep about. And you remember earlier, in the Revelation letter, he said, there'll be no night there because the Lamb is its light. But you contrast that to hell where he says in Matthew 8:12, there's only darkness and only weeping. See, for the Christian, your best life isn't now. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. For the Christian, your best life is to come. Your best life is when you get home, when you're finally before the throne of the Father. And so what do we say? Oh yes, there'll be sorrow here. Anybody who tells you that you're not going to sorrow here isn't being honest with you. Anyone who tells you that every day here is going to be great isn't being honest with you. But that doesn't mean we don't have good days. But I'll tell you what I do look forward to. I look forward to the day where there's no more weeping. Sorrow endures for the night. But David, what'd you say? Joy comes in the morning. Can you imagine being in a place where you don't have to go to another graveside? Can you imagine being in a place where you don't get a call in the middle of the night that someone is sick? I don't know how many times I've pulled out of bed. I'm sure Brother Guy, same thing, middle of the night, just to go and be with someone. And you just look at the family and you're helpless. But to be in heaven, he said, there'll be no more weeping, no more death, no more sorrow. Let's look forward to that day. You may be going through a time of mourning. You may be going through a time of sorrow. You may be weeping. But joy comes in the morning for the child of God. Let's all prepare for that day. If you obey the gospel, we pray you come. As together we stand.